97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you, and welcome in. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. We've got Scott Jigow in this morning for the vacationing Kim St. Ange, who picked a great week to be off, by the way, and Carl Middleman in here with us as well. If you are following us on Rumble these days, we do appreciate that. I just want to point that out this morning. We are in a new studio temporarily, and we are trying desperately to get things to work like they do in the other studio. Yesterday, we finally got Rumble started, what, Carl, about an hour and a half into the show?
Roughly. Sure, let's say then.
Yeah. This morning, Carl thinks he's got to go in early, so that's a good thing, and it's an alternative to the Book of Faces, which currently has us locked out of doing anything live.
Oh, our boss and I had a nice conversation about that yesterday, and he said, what if we went on the station's Facebook page? And then Ethan said, well, then if we get three strikes, then the station's Facebook page is down, and he's like, let's keep it on Mark's.
Well, we did get three strikes on YouTube, so we are permanently banned from YouTube unless I create a shadow account. I guess I could try that.
Steve said, what platform is he not banned from?
We don't play the big tech game of ignoring important issues just to try to kiss the rear end and stay on their platform. I won't do that. I don't monetize any of that stuff, so it's not like they're paying me to be on any of it. I mean, certainly not YouTube. Yeah, I enjoyed it because it's an additional way people can watch the show. They can enjoy the show, get the content. In YouTube specifically, we got banned during COVID. Three strikes, you're out. I kept mentioning hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And they did not want, this is the problem with big tech. And I've got a great soundbite I'm going to play for you a little later this morning. There are people in this country, let's see, primarily Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris, who would like to see a czar of misinformation, except their definition of misinformation is anything they disagree with. So the czar of misinformation would have banned me during COVID for talking about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin with medical doctors who said works great. It's just that Big Pharma doesn't make any money off of it, so they don't want you talking about it. And now, 4 years later, we know ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine worked great, probably would have saved hundreds of thousands of lives potentially in the U.S. had they used it sooner. And yet we're still banned from YouTube because I talked about it back then when they thought it was misinformation. This is the danger of the throttling of free speech in this country. We see it all the time. It's not going to end anytime soon. You can deal a blow to it by voting the proper way in early November. I'll let you hear the bite from Kamala and Tim Walz and Hillary coming up here a little bit later in the show. Good show for you. A little, you know, Donald Trump said the other night famously before his debate, I've never met Kamala Harris in person. He donated to her once when she was the Attorney General of California. He didn't know her, but he was a businessman doing business in California, so he donated money to her campaign out there. And they tried to make a big deal out of that. And he's like, I donated to a lot of people, Democrats, Republicans, and all. This morning, we have a guy who worked with her who's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. He worked with Kamala Harris. He knows her. I'm sure he's met her on several occasions. He's the former lieutenant governor. In fact, the last Republican to maybe ever serve in politics in the state of California. At the administrative level. He was the lieutenant governor of California. The last one, he ran against Gavin Newsom and got defeated. And I don't know what he's doing these days, but we're going to talk to him here at about 7:35 this morning. His name is Abel Maldonado. And he's going to call in here. Of course, today is Thursday. Our normal lineup, Jim Talent, Shannon Bream, Griff Jenkins a little later. We're going to get to all of it for you. But first, Carl Middleman, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Kamala You've been a terrible vice president. You will be an even worse president. We're not going to take it anymore, Kamala. Kamala, you're fired. Get out. You're fired.
You're fired. We haven't heard that in a while. He was fired up, the president, last night, speaking in New York, where everybody told him, you're crazy. Why are you wasting your time in New York? You're never going to win New York. He's like, I can win New York. He believes it.
You've said, regardless of what the exact precise facts are here.
No, I didn't say regardless of the precise facts. I said you have to listen to what people are saying.
Yeah. J.D. Vance, taking any and all questions. No matter what the left thinks of this guy, I'll bet you that they're impressed with the fact that he does multiple media interviews every weekend on anybody that invites him. He sits down with them. Yesterday, he got into it with a New York Times reporter, and he did a really good job of explaining what's going on in Springfield, Ohio.
The way that they are currently terrorizing the people of Springfield with their racist smear about eating dogs and cats, like, this is the most vicious, despicable, lie-filled campaign I have ever seen.
Yeah, that was a leftist on CNN going after Republicans for daring to question what's going on up there in Springfield, Ohio. They don't care what the migrants do to the community as long as nobody accuses them of eating pets.
Now they have pledged to carry out the largest deportation, a mass deportation, in American history. Imagine what that would look like and what that would be.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
that got turned into an ad in, like, I don't know, T-minus 10 minutes after Kamala Harris said it. The Trump campaign had that ad running with his tag on it. They must have just been waiting for it. I don't know how they got it released so soon. I thought she didn't even say that until yesterday. Maybe she said it in a different setting, and I missed it. But I love that ad. That's it. That's the entire ad. It's not very long. Donald Trump released it, and I thought it was funny. Carl, play the whole thing if you've got it there, please.
I do. Stand by.
All right.
It is, that's number... Hold on. Where did I lose? Oh, it's number 5. That's why.
Now they have pledged to carry out the largest deportation, a mass deportation, in American history. Imagine what that would look like and what that would be.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Just envision for a moment all these people being rounded up who broke into our country, are technically not allowed to be here, and they violated the law by doing so, whether you like it or not. And we're telling them, I'm sorry, but you have to go home. Just envision what that would look like. I don't know. Envision what it would look like if you left your front door open. When you woke up the next morning, there were complete strangers occupying the bottom two rooms of your home. And you came downstairs and said, I'm sorry, you don't belong here. This is mine. You have to leave. That's a very normal scenario. Everybody can relate to that. That's not unlike what's going on at our southern border. All of these people who think an open border is okay lock their doors at night because they don't want it in their house, but they don't care what happens to the country. And I think that's why that ad will be particularly effective for Donald Trump. I can't help.
I don't remember a situation where the opponent, tagged it like that. Just their ad said, "Yeah, we agree."
Yeah, we're glad you're out there saying that. Donald Trump was on Greg Gutfeld's show last night, the number one rated late night show in America, by the way, if you've not watched it. For some people, Gutfeld's not their cup of tea. I think the guy's hilarious. And clearly the viewing audience agrees because his ratings are off the charts. He's crushing Colbert and all those people in late night TV right now. Yesterday, he had a surprise guest. It was Donald Trump. Trump was in New York for that rally, and they record Gutfeld, I think, before the 5. I think they go upstairs in the afternoon because Todd Pyro, who's a guest on the show on Tuesdays, told me that he's occasionally on Gutfeld, and when he does that, he has to hang around New York City until they record it in the middle of the afternoon. A lot of those late-night shows record early. They record Gutfeld sometime before the 5. And Donald Trump was on there yesterday. Some great stuff. Some pretty hilarious stuff. And the thing, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but when I watched the video, and you can hear it in his voice a little bit, he was funny. He was Trumpian. He was smiling. I wish he had done that just a little bit during the debate. If that side of Trump had showed up during the debate, then he would have won on both the facts and the performance.
He looked relaxed.
Because he looked angry and pissed off the whole time during the debate, he lost on performance. I mean, she beat him on that. There's no doubt about that. He might have won on the points, but I'm not sure how many people give him credit for it. That's just my two cents. If we saw the Trump at the debate we saw on Gutfeld, he would have been the clear-cut winner of that debate in any poll, in my opinion. But he didn't do it. I don't know whose advice he takes, if anyone's, but somebody needs to tell him that. All right, we're going to get to a quick break. Carl, who's got our national anthem?
Okay, Mark, so Sunday night is Pitbull, but opening up for Pitbull is the winner of The Masked Singer, who actually has an amazing voice, T-Pain, doing our national anthem. No. And I think you're going to be surprised.
All right, welcome back. I wanted to get back to Donald Trump on Gutfeld last night. It was some pretty good stuff. They joked about a lot of things, including him being on the golf course and getting shot at. Gutfeld's pretty comfortable with him because he was asking him whether or not it was safe for people to golf with him, which I thought was pretty funny. I mean, given what happened here, I'll let you listen to a little bit of it.
Mr. P, how's your golf game?
Well, haven't been thinking about it too much lately. I always said golf is a very dangerous game.
It really is, especially if they're playing with you.
Yeah, it's true.
That was a mean joke.
Pretty sad.
If they had told you that the shooter was there, would you have tried to take him out with your 3-wood?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. If I knew. Actually, the Secret Service did a great job. They saw the barrel of a gun, big gun.
Yeah.
And it came out through bushes. And how many people would see that? First, you know, he really was very exceptional to have done it.
Still heaping praise on the Secret Service. I did hear Josh Hawley yesterday, and I'm going to play this for you a little later, questioning why we don't have better information. They're now playing this as if they've given you all of the information so far on how this went down. They now claim that Donald Trump, prior to the shooting attempt, was getting the same level of Secret Service protection the president would, like as in Joe Biden. But we know that's not the case. Because if Joe Biden was golfing on that golf course, nobody else would be allowed on the golf course. And they would have had a perimeter around the outside of the golf course. The thought that somebody could have been sitting in the weeds for 12 hours awaiting the arrival of the president, that is Biden, is ridiculous. But they want us to believe that that's what happened in this case, that nobody happened to just walk the perimeter of the golf course looking for some nut job before the president got on the course to golf. So much of it doesn't make any sense. At least Josh Hawley is out there demanding some answers, and even a few Democrats to give him credit for that. I'm glad to hear it. We're going to be back with Colonel Alan West in just a minute. Stay tuned.
We have to start always with energy, always. I don't want to be boring about it, but there's no bigger subject. It covers everything. If you make donuts, if you make cars, whatever you make, energy is a big deal, and we're going to get that. It's my ambition to get your energy bill within 12 months down 50%. If I can do that, we've done a hell of a job. 50, not 15, 50. Interest rates are going to follow, and actually they're going to follow for another reason. The economy is now not good.
There was the president last night. Some of his comments with Sarah Huckabee Sanders when he did his live event with her. He's not dodging the media. He's taking questions for sure. All right, let me get to my guest. Before we get to him, Carl, go to my favorite soundbite of all time from Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
That is one of my favorite bites of all time. In fact, we had Colonel West on the phone here just a second ago, and now I don't see him. My guest, Colonel West, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. I think I got dropped off. You want me to call back on a different line?
No, I think we're just going to go with it this way, if that's all right, sir. How have you been?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I played a bite from President Trump's speech last night with Arkansas Governor Huckabee Sanders talking about what he can do with the economy if he gets back in and all that. In the meantime, You've got Kamala Harris not only not taking any hard questions, but going to, I guess, the National Association of Black Journalists, where they sent her a bunch of softball questions, and once again, she gave us zero policy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a continuation of the same thing. I don't know how many times, we have to hear that she was raised a poor middle class, child. It kind of reminds me of Steve Martin in the movie The Jerk, when he said, "I was born a poor black child in Mississippi." But we're not getting any specifics. And I don't understand what an opportunity economy is because, the government is not there to provide us opportunity. The government has set the conditions for us to create opportunities for ourselves. And again, it's just the same old rhetoric that we have heard from Barack Obama, from Joe Biden. And as a matter of fact, her economic policies, I guess we figured out it was cut and pasted from Joe Biden's policy. So this is not a new page. It's going to be turned. And she's going to continue to try to expose herself to the, like you said, to the easy layup type of journalist. But when you look at President Trump, we know what he did with the economy. We know what he did with our oil and gas industry, our energy security. We know what he did with our border security, our national security, our foreign policy. So I think that right now what he needs to do is continue to talk about the things that he did while he was president and ask the American people a simple question. What are you voting for? Because I don't think anybody who says they're voting for Kamala Harris can answer truthfully what they're voting for.
They're just voting against Trump in large part, right? I mean, that's absolutely correct.
That's not a reason to go out and vote.
No, shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You know, on the murder attempts here, two of them now. I would call it unprecedented, but somebody reminded me the other day that there were two attempts on Gerald Ford's life in a very short period of time as well. So it's not unheard of, but in this day and age, we should have the technology to protect a presidential candidate. And all we get from the White House and from Kamala Harris after the second attempt was, we don't support violence. Nobody should condone violence. That's all you got out of them. I want to know why Joe Biden didn't call Donald Trump immediately and say, you're going to get a full contingent of Secret Service just like I get every day.
Because they are the ones that are inciting this violence. I mean, you continue to call Donald Trump a threat to democracy. That's what she said during during the debate. You continue to allow people to go out there and call, Trump a Hitler. And you look at some of the things that have been said by these media talking heads and pundits. I mean, I even saw one gentleman on one of these leftist news programs say that you got to put a bullet in Donald Trump. So if you're calling someone and denigrating and comparing them to Hitler, then eventually some of these deranged minds are going to do that. Look, I cannot understand how there was not an outer perimeter security sweep done of the Trump International Golf Course. And I lived in South Florida for 10 years after I retired, and that area was part of the congressional district that I represented, so I know that area very well. And why could they not do that simple task? This guy was there for 12 hours, okay? This was a planned ambush of the former president of the United States of America and Republican candidate. These are, shortfalls. These are failures in the Secret Service. And I'm not demonizing the individual agents because they're doing the best that they can do. But something with the leadership is not going right. And we have not heard from Alejandro Mayorkas, who heads up, you know, he's the one that's in charge of the Secret Service with Homeland Security. So my recommendation to Donald Trump, go out there and get you a bunch of special operators, you know, former pipe hitters, and just hire them as your security detail.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, I'm looking at some of these races across the country. I'm interested because you're now operating it down in Texas, and and you know, it's a border state. It's got a large number of immigrants, both legal and illegal, living down there. Hopefully none of the illegal ones are voting. But how are things shaping up down there? What's being done in Texas this election cycle?
Well, without a doubt, the most important thing for us, and I'm the chairman here at Dallas County, which is one of the large metroplexes here, the left has come into a state like Texas and taken over the major urban population centers, Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso, and we have to have the pushback against that. We've got to ensure that those illegals aren't voting. We've got to do what is necessary to go in and, you know, do a review of the voter registration, voter eligibility rolls. We got the Dallas County Elections Administration. Every single month, he has to post the updated voter eligibility roster. And our precinct chairs, they break that down and they go and they start to do a canvassing of some of the folks within those precincts. And we're finding out the quote unquote ghost voters, the people that are there on the eligibility roster that don't belong. Another thing that's very disconcerting for us is that they're going to be registering homeless individuals here in Dallas County. They say that's part of the state law. So we're going to our state legislature. Say, hey, look, you cannot have homeless people registering to vote and, you know, voter registration cards showing up at soup kitchens and, you know, church shelters and things of this nature, because we're talking about people that don't have ID. Who's going to verify who's picking up these voter ID cards? But right. Without a doubt, we've got to focus on the issues. And again, we're getting into the different demographic backgrounds that a lot of times Republicans don't talk to. Yesterday, I was with the Kurdish Americans. We are having an event down in South Dallas with the Black community, Hispanic community, Ethiopian community, Indian community, Jewish community. The American Jewish Conservatives just stood up here in Dallas, Texas, as well as some of the other communities, because we've got to get all of these people energized and understand that, you know, your safety and security and your future and education of your children is at risk.
Yeah, or we're all going to be Springfield, Ohio before long if we don't pay attention, right?
Yeah, and many of these cities all across the country are being overrun by the dumping of these illegal immigrants. And one of the things that I want to share with you, that please get it out to everyone, you have more single military age male illegals in this country right now than the entire active duty force of the United States Army. That should be very disturbing to Americans.
It is. First I've heard that. That is disturbing. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, always a pleasure having you on, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry that I called on the wrong number.
No, don't worry about it. We made it work. We appreciate that. We've been rolling with the punches this morning. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Lieutenant, God bless.
Yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West there on Carl Middleman's cell phone this morning. So that was perfect. Thank you for making that work, Carl.
There was
it really
a way
fits with how this morning has gone so far.
I'm telling you,
there was a way for me to call on the other line, but then he would have not heard us for 5 seconds.
Ah,
and I didn't want to risk that.
I appreciate that. We're holding the show together with piano wire this morning, but that's okay.
And choking ourselves
at the same time.
It sounded pretty good so far.
I thought so. Thank you. Most people wouldn't notice if we weren't complaining about it like children on the air.
That's true. That's
all right.
And the Rumble people.
The Rumble people were rumbling, but we got Rumble working too. I should say
grumbling.
Carl got Rumble working, so thank you, Carl.
Tomorrow, I cannot promise that.
Oh, come on. If you did it once, you can do it again.
I've done it twice. Tomorrow, third time's the charm.
Carl Middleman, thank you for playing that on Lita Ford's birthday.
How old do you think she is?
Well, I guessed 63.
Add three.
She's 66.
Still young.
Because,
you know,
young.
When she was in The Runaways, she was a child.
She's beautiful, and I never appreciated her as much as I should have back in the day. I never saw her live. I would love to have seen her live.
And then her biggest hit is with Ozzy.
Right.
Close My Eyes Forever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And that's too slow.
Yeah.
And she said in her some autobiography she wrote or some interview that one time Eddie Van Halen approached her about possibly singing for Van Halen.
Oh, really?
That's what she claimed.
That would have been cool.
I know. Apparently, they were friends. I didn't know that. So, anyway, what could have been? All right, but here's what was, not what could have been, but what has happened. Listen to this.
Today, the Federal Open Market Committee decided to reduce the degree of policy restraint by lowering our policy interest rate by a half percentage point.
Yeah. What did we talk about yesterday? If you were listening to the show yesterday, we talked to our friend from Fox Business, and she didn't think they'd go a half percent, right? And there were Democrats pushing for 75 basis points instead of 50. Because why? Because it politically helps the incumbent in this case, who can argue, well, things must be going well. Look how much they've lowered the interest rate. That's the argument they're going to make. And in fact, Powell tried to make that argument yesterday. Listen.
The U.S. economy is in good shape. It's growing at a solid pace. Inflation is coming down. The labor market is in a strong pace. We want to keep it there.
And just so you know, Jerome Powell has a stake in all this, right? There's a lot of pride.
We have to start always with energy. Always. I don't want to be boring about it, but there's no bigger subject. It covers everything. If you make donuts, if you make cars, whatever you make, energy is a big deal. And we're going to get that. It's my ambition to get your energy bill within 12 months down 50%. If I can do that, we've done a hell of a job. 5-0, not 15, 50. Interest rates are going to follow, and actually they're going to follow for another reason. The economy is now not good.
There was the president last night. Some of his comments with Sarah Huckabee Sanders when he did his live event with her. He's not dodging the media. He's taking questions for sure. All right, let me get to my guest. Before we get to him, Carl, go to my favorite soundbite of all time from Lieutenant Colonel Alan West.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
That is one of my favorite bites of all time. In fact, we had Colonel West on the phone here just a second ago, and now I don't see him. My guest, Colonel West, can you hear us?
Yeah, I hear you. I think I got dropped off. You want me to call back on a different line?
No, I think we're just going to go with it this way, if that's all right, sir. How have you been?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I played a bite from President Trump's speech last night with Arkansas Governor Huckabee Sanders, talking about what he can do with the economy if he gets back in and all that. In the meantime, You've got Kamala Harris not only not taking any hard questions, but going to, I guess, the National Association of Black Journalists, where they sent her a bunch of softball questions, and once again, she gave us zero policy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a continuation of the same thing. I don't know how many times, we have to hear that she was raised a poor middle class, child. It kind of reminds me of Steve Martin in the movie The Jerk, when he said, I was born a poor black child in Mississippi. But we're not getting any specifics. And I don't understand what an opportunity economy is, because, the government is not there to provide us opportunity. The government has set the conditions for us to create opportunities for ourselves. And again, it's just the same old rhetoric that we have heard from Barack Obama, from Joe Biden. And as a matter of fact, her economic policies, I guess we figured out it was cut and pasted from Joe Biden's policy. So this is not a new page. It's going to be turned. And she's going to continue to try to expose herself to the, like you said, to the easy layup type of journalist. But when you look at President Trump, we know what he did with the economy. We know what he did with our oil and gas industry, our energy security. We know what he did with our border security, our national security, our foreign policy. So I think that right now what he needs to do is continue to talk about the things that he did while he was president and ask the American people a simple question. What are you voting for? Because I don't think anybody who says they're voting for Kamala Harris can answer truthfully what they're voting for.
They're just voting against Trump in large part, right? I mean, that's absolutely correct.
That's not a reason to go out and vote.
No, shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You know, on the murder attempts here, two of them now, I would call it unprecedented, but somebody reminded me the other day that there were two attempts on Gerald Ford's life in a very short period of time as well. So it's not unheard of. But in this day and age, we should have the technology to protect a presidential candidate. And all we get from the White House and from Kamala Harris after the second attempt was, you know, we don't support violence. We don't. Nobody should condone violence. That's all you got out of them. I want to know why Joe Biden didn't call Donald Trump immediately and say, you're going to get a full contingent of Secret Service just like I get every day.
Because they are the ones that are inciting this violence. I mean, you know, you continue to call Donald Trump a threat to democracy. That's what she said during her during the debate. You continue to allow people to go out there and call, you know, Trump a Hitler. And you look at some of the things that have been said by these media talking heads and pundits. I mean, I even saw one gentleman on one of these leftist news programs say that you got to put a bullet in Donald Trump. So if you're calling someone and denigrating and comparing them to Hitler, then eventually some of these deranged minds are going to do that. Look, I cannot understand how there was not an outer perimeter security sweep done of the Trump International Golf Course. And I lived in South Florida for 10 years after I retired, and that area was part of the congressional district that I represented, so I know that area very well. And why could they not do that simple task? This guy was there for 12 hours, okay? This was a planned ambush of a president, of the former president of the United States of America and Republican candidate. These are, you know, shortfalls. These are failures in the Secret Service. And I'm not demonizing the individual agents because they're doing the best that they can do, but something with the leadership is not going right. And we have not heard from Alejandro Mayorkas, who heads up, you know, he's the one that's in charge of the Secret Service with Homeland Security. So my recommendation to Donald Trump, go out there and get you a bunch of special operators, you know, former pipe hitters, and just hire them as your security detail.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea. You know, I'm looking at some of these races across the country. I'm interested because you're now operating it down in Texas, and you know, it's a border state. It's got a large number of immigrants, both legal and illegal, living down there. Hopefully none of the illegal ones are voting. But how are things shaping up down there? What's being done in Texas this election cycle?
Well, without a doubt, the most important thing for us, and I'm the chairman here at Dallas County, which is one of the large metroplexes here, the left has come into a state like Texas and taken over the major urban population centers, Dallas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio, El Paso, and we have to have the pushback against that. We've got to ensure that those illegals aren't voting. We've got to do what is necessary to go in and, you know, do a review of the voter registration, voter eligibility rolls. We have got the Dallas County Elections Administration. Every single month, he has to post the updated voter eligibility roster. And our precinct chairs, they break that down and they go and they start to do a canvassing of some of the folks within those precincts. And we're finding out the quote unquote ghost voters, the people that are there on the eligibility roster that don't belong. Another thing that's very disconcerting for us is that they're going to be registering homeless individuals here in Dallas County. They say that's part of the state law. So we're going to our state legislature. Say, hey, look, you cannot have homeless people registering to vote and, you know, voter registration cards showing up at soup kitchens and, you know, church shelters and things of this nature, because we're talking about people that don't have ID. Who's going to verify who's picking up these voter ID cards? But right. Without a doubt, we've got to focus on the issues. And again, we're getting into the different demographic backgrounds that a lot of times Republicans don't talk to. Yesterday, I was with the Kurdish Americans. We are having an event down in South Dallas with the Black community, Hispanic community, Ethiopian community, Indian community, Jewish community. The American Jewish Conservatives just stood up here in Dallas, Texas, as well as some of the other communities, because we've got to get all of these people energized and understand that, you know, your safety and security and your future and education of your children is at risk.
Yeah, or we're all going to be Springfield, Ohio before long if we don't pay attention, right?
Yeah, and many of these cities all across the country are being overrun by the dumping of these illegal immigrants. And one of the things that I want to share with you, that please get it out to everyone, you have more single military age male illegals in this country right now than the entire active duty force of the United States Army. That should be very disturbing to Americans.
It is. First, I've heard that. That is disturbing. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, always a pleasure having you on, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry that I called on the wrong number.
No, don't worry about it. We made it work. We appreciate that. We've been rolling with the punches this morning. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Lieutenant, God bless.
Yeah, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West there on Carl Middleman's cell phone this morning. So that was perfect. Thank you for making that work, Carl.
There was
it really
a way
fits with how this morning has gone so far.
I'm telling you,
there was a way for me to call on the other line, but then he would have not heard us for 5 seconds.
Ah,
and I didn't want to risk that.
I appreciate that. We're holding the show together with piano wire this morning, but that's okay.
And choking ourselves
at the same time.
It sounded pretty good so far.
I thought so. Thank you. Most people wouldn't notice if we weren't complaining about it like children on the air.
That's
all right.
And the Rumble people. The Rumble people
were rumbling, but we got Rumble working too. Carl got Rumble working. So thank you, Carl.
Tomorrow, I cannot promise that.
Oh, come on. If you did it once, you can do it again.
I've done it twice. Tomorrow, third time's the charm.
Carl Middleman, thank you for playing that on Lita Ford's birthday.
How old do you think she is?
Well, I guessed 63.
Add three.
She's 66.
Still young. Because, you know, when she was in The Runaways, she was a child.
She's beautiful, and I never appreciated her as much as I should have back in the day. I never saw her live. I would love to have seen her live.
And then her biggest hit is with Ozzy.
Right.
Close My Eyes Forever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And
that's too slow.
Yeah.
And she said in her some autobiography she wrote or some interview that one time Eddie Van Halen approached her about possibly singing for Van Halen.
Oh, really?
That's what she claimed.
That would have been cool.
I know. Apparently they were friends. I didn't know that. So anyway, what could have been? All right. But here's what was, not what could have been, but what has happened. Listen to this.
Today, the Federal Open Market Committee decided to reduce the degree of policy restraint by lowering our policy interest rate by a half percentage point.
Yeah. What did we talk about yesterday? If you were listening to the show yesterday, we talked to our friend from Fox Business, and she didn't think they'd go a half percent, right? And there were Democrats pushing for 75 basis points instead of 50. Because why? Because it politically helps the incumbent in this case, who can argue, well, things must be going well. Look how much they've lowered the interest rate. That's the argument they're going to make. And in fact, Powell tried to make that argument yesterday. Listen.
The U.S. economy is in good shape. It's growing at a solid pace. Inflation is coming down. The labor market is in a strong pace. We want to keep it there.
And just so you know, Jerome Powell has a stake in all this, right? There's a lot of pride, I guess you'd call it, ego involved in being on the Federal Reserve Board. They want you to know the economy is doing okay, and they want to take full credit for the fact that it's doing okay. And then you'll hear Joe Biden come out and give a speech and talk about all of the jobs you created, when we know most of those are jobs that went away because of COVID, and these people simply got their jobs back. And the Biden administration wants to take credit for creating all of these jobs. Inflation is down. We've done our job, except for the fact that inflation is not transitory, as you were told by this administration. It's cumulative. Inflation is cumulative. Inflation is up 23, 24, maybe 25% in the 3 years and 3.5 years Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been in charge. Think about that. And it was directly as a result of a policy decision that led to that. And as a reaction to it, the Fed had no choice but to screw you by jacking interest rates up to try to stop you from spending. So Jerome Powell can do a victory lap all he wants on this, and at the end of the day, they still take some of the, they deserve some of the blame for it. Their restricted monetary policy might have helped bring interest rates back down to what, not interest, inflation rates back down to what, 2.5%? Is that what the last one was, something like that?
Well, I think the fact that he's saying that the economy is in good shape flies in the face of the last three times that the Fed has done a half point after 9/11, Lehman Brothers, pandemic.
Yes.
Those are all three instances where the economy was in danger, and now you're telling me you're doing it and the economy's just fine.
I heard Charles Payne make that similar point yesterday on one of the Fox shows. I think it's important to know. Now, the market loves it. Like, the market is up 400 points in pre-trading this morning. So they're expecting the market. It's like jet fuel for the market the day after that they've done this. And it's good for people that are trying to go out and maybe get home mortgages. This is what I would tell you. This is going to take a while, right? They're going to bring interest rates back down to maybe the threes at some point. It's gonna be over the next year, year and a half. But it was important to them yesterday because it's the last time they'll meet before the election to do something big, because Jerome Powell would like to see Kamala Harris and Joe Biden get reelected. That's my opinion. And I base it solely on the fact that Janet Yellen is a hard leftist and she's the last head of the Fed, right? So she left and joined the Biden administration and Jerome Powell became head of the Fed. You just have to understand how these things work. Background matters. I think they did it for political reasons. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But your cumulative inflation rate is 25%. Your grocery bill's up. Your gas bill's up. Everything is up as a result of their reckless, drunken sailor spending with the excuse of COVID. It was unnecessary. We're still sitting on billions of dollars we haven't spent because Tish Jones, not billions, millions here, can't figure out who she wants to give it away to. Just amazing. All right, coming up, we'll get to our friend Tom Ackerman. He's going to be in studio with us, talk a little bit about the Cardinals' resurgence at the end of the season.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Carl Middleman, thank you for playing that on Lita Ford's birthday.
How old do you think she is?
Well, I guess 63.
And three.
She's 66.
Still young. Because, you know, young. When she was in The Runaways, she was a child.
She's beautiful. And I never appreciated her as much as I should have back in the day. I never saw her live. I would love to have seen her live.
And then her biggest hit is with Ozzy.
Right.
Close My Eyes Forever.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And that's too slow.
Yeah.
And she said in her some autobiography she wrote or some interview that one time Eddie Van Halen approached her about possibly singing for Van Halen.
Oh, really?
That's what she claimed.
That would have been cool.
I know. Apparently they were friends. I didn't know that. So anyway, what could have been? All right. But here's what was, not what could have been, but what has happened. Listen to this.
Today, the Federal Open Market Committee decided to reduce the degree of policy restraint by lowering our policy interest rate by a half percentage point.
Yeah. What did we talk about yesterday? If you were listening to the show yesterday, we talked to our friend from Fox Business, and she didn't think they'd go a half percent, right? And there were Democrats pushing for 75 basis points instead of 50. Because why? Because it politically helps the incumbent in this case, who can argue, well, things must be going well. Look how much they've lowered the interest rate. That's the argument they're going to make. And in fact, Powell tried to make that argument yesterday. Listen.
The U.S. economy is in good shape. It's growing at a solid pace. Inflation is coming down. The labor market is in a strong pace. We want to keep it there.
And just so you know, Jerome Powell has a stake in all this, right? There's a lot of pride, I guess you'd call it, ego involved in being on the Federal Reserve Board. They want you to know the economy is doing okay, and they want to take full credit for the fact that it's doing okay. And then you'll hear Joe Biden come out and give a speech and talk about all of the jobs you created, when we know most of those are jobs that went away because of COVID. And these people simply got their jobs back And the Biden administration wants to take credit for creating all of these jobs. Inflation is down. We've done our job, except for the fact that inflation is not transitory, as you were told by this administration. It's cumulative. Inflation is cumulative. Inflation is up 23, 24, maybe 25% in the 3 years and 3.5 years Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have been in charge. Think about that. And it was directly as a result of a policy decision that led to that. And as a reaction to it, the Fed had no choice but to screw you by jacking interest rates up to try to stop you from spending. So Jerome Powell can do a victory lap all he wants on this. And at the end of the day, they still take some of the, they deserve some of the blame for it. Their restrictive monetary policy might have helped bring interest rates back down to what? Not interest, inflation rates back down to what? 2.5%? Is that what the last one was? Something like that?
Well, I think the fact that he's saying that the economy is in good shape flies in the face of the last three times that the Fed has done a half point. After 9/11, Lehman Brothers, pandemic.
Yes.
Those are all three instances where the economy was in danger, and now you're telling me you're doing it and the economy's just fine.
I heard Charles Payne make that similar point yesterday on one of the Fox shows. I think it's important to know. Now, the market loves it. Like, the market is up 400 points in pre-trading this morning. So they're expecting the market. It's like jet fuel for the market the day after that they've done this. And it's good for people that are trying to go out and maybe get home mortgages. This is what I would tell you. This is going to take a while, right? They're going to bring interest rates back down to maybe the threes at some point. It's going to be over the next year, year and a half. But it was important to them yesterday because it's the last time they'll meet before the election to do something big, because Jerome Powell would like to see Kamala Harris and Joe Biden get reelected. That's my opinion. And I base it solely on the fact that Janet Yellen is a hard leftist and she's the last head of the Fed, right? So she left and joined the Biden administration and Jerome Powell became head of the Fed. You just have to understand how these things work. Background matters. I think they did it for political reasons. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But your cumulative inflation rate is 25%. Your grocery bill's up. Your gas bill's up. Everything is up as a result of their reckless, drunken sailor spending with the excuse of COVID. It was unnecessary. We're still sitting on billions of dollars we haven't spent because Tish Jones, not billions, millions here, can't figure out who she wants to give it away to. Just amazing. All right, coming up, we'll get to our friend Tom Ackerman. He's going to be in studio with us, talk a little bit about the Cardinals' resurgence at the end of the season.
Get more at 971talk.com.